Well, hi and welcome. Welcome to our series on marketing your coaching practice. We'll be talking about some applications of influence psychology, persuasion science, and neuromarketing. I'm really excited about doing this with you. Thank you to those of you who have sent in responses to the couple of questions that I asked about what's the one question about this topic that would be of most interest to you for us to address. And secondly, if you walked away from this series really feeling it was one of the best you'd attended, what would you walk away with? Notice that those are the two questions we usually ask our clients. What do you want to focus on and what do you want to take away? So thank you for those of you who have sent in responses. It really helps me to get an idea of what your interest and areas of focus can be, and I'll add that to the hopper and include those responses in the process of what we talk about. I'm operating from the outline that you guys have, so hopefully you have downloaded, maybe printed the outline so you'll have a place to take notes so you don't have to really take many notes, but you can just kind of listen and see if it makes sense. So in the beginning and at the end, our wrap-up, I'll have an open mic. I want to have a discussion with any questions or clarifications at the beginning, and I'll reserve just a bit of time at the end for any questions or thoughts or clarifications that you have. So if you'll manage the background noise at both ends, we can do that. I'll put us on mute, on lecture mode, in just a few minutes so you don't have to worry about it. But anything you want to add or even respond, if you haven't yet, to those two questions about what it would be helpful to focus on for you, for your practice, and what you'd like to walk away with. And I really appreciate the responses. I see some familiar faces in our group and some new buddies potentially here, so I really look forward to our collaboration. Any responses right now to those two questions or anything else that you have in mind relevant to what we're going to be talking about that might be helpful for me to know?
Hey, Dave. It's Chris Teasdale in Dallas. So just a quick question.
I'm sorry.
This is Chris Teasdale in Dallas.
Oh, hey. How are you? Great to hear from you, my man.
Thank you. You too.
It's been a while. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, quick question. Is this online as well, or is it just on the phone?
This is all on the phone, partly because of receptivity from different areas and even continents. So it is going to be recorded, and I'll have the recording posted. And you'll see at the site you were given, there's a download for a detailed and annotated outline to follow along and track it. So,
which I actually printed, so I'm good shape.
I'm sorry?
I actually printed that. So
okay,
I'm,
super.
I'm
all right, great. And it's great to have you. I'm eager to hear. I know you have massive success, so I'll be interested in your take on this and anything you want to add to the discussion, go for it.
Okay. I appreciate it. I'm going to go on mute.
All right, super. Other responses or questions or clarification? Anything you want to add to the hopper at this point for us to talk about?
Hi, my name's Haley, and I was looking to see if I could find the questions that you sent, and I don't know if I missed an email, but
I sent an email that is addressed to me because I don't have permission to reveal the emails of everybody. So I sent it to me, but it has to do, I think it's the topic is.
It went to my spam. I found it.
Okay. All right. Great.
Thank you. Great. I'm sorry.
No problem. Anything else? Anybody want to add or ask or say hi? If not, I'll move right into let me do this before I go on mute in case you have any response, just to give you a 1 minute overview and premise and a highlight of what I have in mind for us to do together. So here's the premise. Practicing professionals in healthcare, law, finance, accounting, business, coaching, and real estate, I'm going to add, are well-educated and trained. But we may each reluctantly acknowledge that we're also in business. We're able to help others achieve their goals, but we may still be learning how to translate that into doing the same for our own businesses and practices. So here's what we're going to do together. Innovative work in the mind and brain sciences help us understand more about the topics that we're going to deal with in these four seminars: the psychology of influence, the neuroscience of persuasion, mindset mastery, and neuromarketing, to apply each to add to your business success, specifically how these mind and brain-based strategies of the persuasion sciences can generate improvement of engagement and sales for your professional services and products is what we're going to focus on. So this is a system of creating rather than a method of hoping. So knowing that, before I go on mute, are there any additions or questions or comments from anyone? All right, I'll put us on lecture mode. I want to give you a quiz, and this is in your outline. The American Sociological Review studied the hiring practices of three elite industries: law, investment banking, and management consulting firms, to determine the primary criteria for those qualified to make the final rounds of interview. So these are the characteristics, the qualities. Which do you think was first? Intellectual prestige, where someone obtained their degree. Grade point average. Sharing similar experiences as the interviewer. The expertise in the area of the specific position, or recommendations for that person. Now, jot down your answer. I'll tell you later, and I'll tell you why I didn't tell you until later. Both are important. So we're going to be talking about influence. That basically is to enhance the likelihood of a choice, to heighten the probability of agreement and predictability. Influence moves people to a desired outcome while helping them feel genuinely good about themselves and about you in that collaborative process. So let's talk just briefly about the brain science of story. Four questions. Also, jot down your answers. I'm going to tell you sooner on these, right after I finish the fourth, because the reason I'm holding off on the answers is a neuroscience principle in action for the first one. So what draws you into a story? Jot down your answer. What sustains your engagement as a listener or a reader in a story? What are you responding to when a story engages you? Again, your first answer, that's going to be the emotional ones, not processing it in your left prefrontal cortex. What determines bestsellers from non-sellers? And a hint, all four have the same answer. The answer to all four questions, we want to know what happens next. A story is hardwired in our brain. It's how we strategically make sense of an overwhelming world, and it's how we remember. For a story to capture and to create and sustain interest, from the first sentence, the reader or listener must want to know what happens next. When a story meets these neural requirements of novelty and anticipation, it engages and remains successful. The simplest version of this, Stephen King said, You know, all a writer ever has to do is keep the reader asking, what happens next? So neuroscience reveals that what draws us into a story and keeps us there is the firing of the dopamine system, the pleasure chemical, signaling that intriguing information is about to unfold. This is what gets and sustains our attention, that anticipation. So think about this in terms of your services. What do you want your reader or listener to walk away thinking about? What point does your story make? How do you want to change the way your listener or reader sees the world? If the recipient doesn't want to know what happens next, no matter how well crafted, it's not going to engage. CEO of Cisco, John Chambers, didn't communicate to employees, clients, or colleagues about selling switches and routers at Cisco. He told a story, a vision of an internet that changes the way we live, work, play, and learn. Starbucks founder Howard Schultz didn't sell coffee and lattes, but the concept of community, as he put it, a third place between home and work. And listen to how Steve Jobs convinced, at the time, former Pepsi president John Sculley to become CEO at Apple. They were on a balcony overlooking Central Park in New York City, and Jobs simply asked Sculley, you want to sell sugared water all your life, or you want to change the world? The essence of influence is based in the brain's need for a story. We have a biology for reciprocation, an innate desire to bond and to connect. Story is an essential element of explanation to bring together and balance the emotional and the rational. If your business is not based on a story, you won't have a business. All good stories give a promise in the beginning, a promise that it'll be worth your time. You invite the listener to join the campfire of the story. Once upon a time. Storytelling, like life, has guidelines, not rules. In order to engage a listener or reader, write or tell a vivid story about your service or product or brand. Include aspects that would activate different parts of their brain. Action, dialogue, sensory experience. Nancy Duarte has studied the craft of storytelling and dramatic plot structure by analyzing hundreds of the most famous speeches of all time and testing different story structures. She discovered a story pattern at the foundation of the most influential speeches of all time. This is her finding. It's a combination of what is followed by what could be for several sequences. She superimposed the sequence of the patterns of the talks of Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech, Stephen Jobs' well-known graduation speech, Lincoln's Gettysburg Address, to name a few of the hundreds she studied systematically. Each fit the same configuration pattern, a series of what is followed by what can be. So here's an example of that to create the influential story pattern. The context, the preface, is that your story has to be in your own voice. To create a clear and compelling story about your body of work, find a thread of connection with your audience as you craft specific messages. It's got to sound like you talking, not reading something you've written or a script. And to be genuine, authentic, as if the person is sitting across from you at the coffee shop. So here are the three story components: challenge, development, and resolution. And I want to talk about those because they are important in configuring your communication. These building blocks are common to all successful stories, from effective marketing to best-selling novels and films. Now, as I describe these three story components, think about how you can apply them in two ways. Having a brief discussion with a potential client about your services, and recommending your professional services after a discussion or a sample session if you do it. So let's develop these three story building blocks. The challenge. Find the client's challenge, the problem, or the pain. Find the deep want or interest that's not fulfilled, what they want but are not getting. What are they not able to do or be themselves that they'll pay you for? This is the only thing they'll pay you for, what they are not able to do or be themselves. Otherwise, they'd go on a jog or have a glass of Chardonnay or simply watch the last of their Netflix series. The foundation of effective influence is to first highlight the challenge or the unmet need. So know the audience and three things about them: their deepest needs, their deepest desires, their deepest concerns. From knowing these three things, describe a situation as the audience knows it. That's the what is. You're articulating what they already know and experience. This creates a bond of understanding, a common ground between you and the audience, and readies them to hear your ideas for change. Second, the development, the middle part of the story. The development of the story is to move from the challenge to a resolution, their desired goal. For this, it's helpful to know a client's external goal and what achieving that goal means. For them, their motivation. The internal goal involves what achieving the external goal really means for them. So to further the story development, consider from the client's point of view, not yours, the client's point of view, these questions. Will it give me what I want and need? Again, the client's questions. Will it be worth it? Will I be able to justify it? Do I need it now? Because you're considering all this. And three, the story resolution. Show them how to resolve their challenge, how to address their issue by using your product or service. The mind and brain both seek closure. You help your client clearly and accurately associate a desired feeling or state with your product or service. The resolution needs a powerful ending. Make it compelling and real, something that they authentically associate buying with pleasure, not with pain. We're going to talk about this more in the next seminar. And remember this, we want emotionally, but justify logically. We make an emotional decision first. So find the emotional reason, their reason, to buy now. For example, notice the first I ask about this series, the what is. Do you have a significant expertise and credentials, but not enough clients, for example? The what can be, you will learn how to systematically shape the primary reason people buy professional services and highlight what will develop and resolve it. So as you move back, and this is from the announcement that you may have glanced at, as you move back and forth between the what is and what can be, you'll optimize your influence. Now, a specific application here. When you recommend, if you do a sample session or a discussion with a potential client, even briefly, and you recommend your professional services clearly and succinctly in 2 to 3 sentences, and the model here as any other professional. You're not asking if they found benefit. You're not trying to feel good about, well, did you get anything of benefit? You're recommending as a professional, and think about the last time you consulted a professional, let's say the last time you saw a doctor. You were asked some questions, and this is about the recommendation part. And remember, this is a sidebar first. You weren't offered a program of 3 months, and if you go ahead and buy that, you get a month free. You weren't offered the gold and silver and platinum package that if you go platinum, you get 6 more emails a month. You were in a discussion and got a recommendation about your professional services. 3 sentences. Summarize the client's challenge. That's the challenge part. The development part is what you can do to help that person through mentor coaching. And the third, the resolution, the specific mentor coaching recommendation, including the framework and the fee and what they get for that. And what I mean by that is if you decide on a monthly retainer that includes weekly meetings for 50 minutes by telephone, whatever material and resources, and emails in between, my monthly retainer is blank, and have that link ready to send them along with your initial information packet. So the fuel that propels these 3 building blocks of all compelling stories, challenge, development, and resolution, the fuel is emotion. The best stories lead with the heart and empathic resonance. Emotional transportation is the complex system of action and reaction that operates within stories to move listeners or readers. The stories that really work transport the listener or reader emotionally. In any business context, if you fail to transport the other person emotionally, you'll lose them, or simply get no response, or get a no framed as, well, you know, I really need to do this, but I need to wait till the end of the summer when my schedule clears, or I'm gonna recontact you in September when my cash, all of those are no. So let's look then at 4 primary tools of influence. 1, the influential story pattern. Why is Apple so innovative? Year after year, they're more innovative than their competitor, than their competition as a whole, and yet they're just a computer company and tech products company who happen to be worth $3 trillion now. They have the same access to the same talent, agencies, consultants, and media. So what accounts for their phenomenal success? Why is it that Martin Luther King led the civil rights movement? He wasn't the only person who suffered pre-civil rights America injustices, and he certainly wasn't the only great orator of his day. Why him? It turns out there's a pattern. All the great and inspiring leaders and organizations in the world think, act, and communicate in a similar pattern that's the antithesis to most others. A marketing message, for example, from a computer company, and name any computer company except Apple that you're thinking about. We make great computers. They're beautifully designed, state-of-the-art, user-friendly. You want to buy one. That's how most marketing is done, to say what you do, how you're different and better, and then hope people respond by buying your services or products. But people rarely believe that what they do is as awesome as what we believe it is they need to do. So here's how Steve Jobs communicated about Apple. I think you always have to be a little different to buy an Apple computer. I think the people who do buy them are the creative spirits in the world. They're the people that are not just out to get a job done. They're out to change the world. And they're out to change the world by using whatever great tools they can get. A lot of times, people think they're crazy, but in that craziness, we see genius, and we make tools for those kind of people. Another example. In the summer of 1963, 250,000 people showed up on the mall in Washington, D.C. to hear Dr. King speak. There were no invitations. There was no website, no internet. How'd that happen? King didn't go around telling people what needed to change in America. He went around and told people what he believed. And people who believed that he believed took his cause and they made it their own and they told people. And some of those people created structures to get the word out to even more people. 250,000 people showed up on the right day at the right time to hear him speak. How many of them showed up for him? Zero. Well, maybe three. They showed up for themselves. It's what they believed about America that got them to travel on a bus for 8 to 12 hours in some cases, stand in the sun in D.C. in the middle of August. It's what they believed, and it wasn't about black versus white. 25% of that audience was white. So no matter how talented, skilled, experienced, hardworking, and unique you are, unless you determine the major factors that influence the ways others think and act, your success is going to be limited. My first mentor in business said, "Dave, I don't want you to be a rose in the desert now." So that's what this is about. This does not equate at all with manipulation, but with consistently generating authentic personal and professional satisfaction while making the lives and the practices of others considerably better. So, no matter how talented, skilled, experienced, hardworking, and unique you are, unless you determine the major factors that influence the way others think and act, your success will be limited. So, I've seen some of the most talented and well-trained people in the world with stellar academic backgrounds and exceptional training accomplish barely average results because they didn't master the people and influence skills that truly resonate to engage others. And I've seen people who master these skills soar personally and professionally. One key principle in influence, simply, is from Dale Carnegie. Ultimately, people do things for their reasons, not ours. This means that for the ultimate influence, we need to first ask the question, what's in it for them? The greatest story command, make me care emotionally, intellectually, aesthetically. It's not about us, it's about the client. Now, this is huge. Numerous studies have the same message. To influence someone, it's essential to connect with their underlying identity. State of the art, and here's the neuroscience to emphasize that. State of the art neuroimaging and cognitive neuropsychology have demonstrated how we create ourselves through narrative, our own sense of self. A specific region of the left forebrain specializes in personal self-narrating actions and thoughts, the brain origin of our identity, our sense of self. And here are some questions about that. What are your prospects' fundamental ideals and needs? To make them care, you need to know what they already care about. Home, status, family, adventure, security, mastery. The most powerful stories begin by identifying a core ideal or concern of the prospect. People buy what they identify with. Neuroeconomic studies, and this is from two neuroeconomics labs, and I correspond with one of these, show that the biggest determinant of a purchase decision is when a product or service resonates with someone's identity. This activates the specific portion of the brain that synthesizes a sense of self. Practically, one of the ways this was set up, a number of people are hooked up to an fMRI and shown 10 objects. By looking at the fMRI, when they sequentially look at these objects, they can predict with 95% accuracy which one of those 10 each person will purchase, because it's the one that lights up this area of the brain of identity. So the goal is to sell people who believe what you believe, meaning that you need to resonate with what their beliefs are, not just to sell people who need what you have. This is the unstated secret of Martin Luther King, Steve Jobs, Abraham Lincoln. This resonates with their core identity, their why. This is the why you bought 10 out of your last 10 books. Something about each book resonated with your identity, and you wanted to expand, explore, enhance in some way. When people feel a unity with others, they feel a shared sense of identity. This principle moves beyond simple similarities to embrace a sense of kinship, of being together in a sense of unity, to sacrifice personal interest for the welfare of the group. Now, here's the answer to the first quiz. Those that made the final round, the number one reason was sharing similar experiences as the interviewer. Just as with purchase decisions, we buy, hire, or affiliate with what fits our identity. Now, here's an important factor. Cognitive studies have shown that the message itself is not directly responsible for change. It's not someone, let me start over. This is important. Let me back up. It's not what someone will say in response to your communication. It's what they then say to themselves as a result of your communication with them. This direct result of change is due to self-talk. What a person says to himself or herself after receiving a message. Now, think about how much more likely you recall the comments you made to yourself more than the comments made to you. This is another reason we want to avoid negative messages. So here's a story that I think will bring together some of these aspects. Dr. Robert Maloney, a professor of ophthalmology at UCLA, was the first surgeon in North America to perform LASIK surgery. He had to help his patients overcome their fear of, at that time, this totally unknown procedure, which involves cutting a flap on the surface of the eyeball, the cornea. He had to give full disclosure, too, including negative possibilities that could easily discourage people who were already scared from getting procedures that he knew would benefit them. They needed them, all without testimony of success stories from a former patient, for the first guy at least, to talk to. He listened closely to his patients and discovered that the value proposition they actually cared about most was trust. They didn't want guarantees. They wanted connection. So Maloney began with this story. He told his patients, "No matter what happens, I'm going to be here to take care of you." Then he'd tell them the story of what he expected would happen with their surgery, and he would cover negative information about problems they might have to struggle with because this was required, but he would conclude his story with a resolution that satisfied their emotional needs. "I'm never going to give up on you, even if there's a problem. We're in this together, walking side by side." Challenge, development, resolution, the story. His emphasis, his framework, was the story of relationship and connection. His call to action was for his patients to trust him enough to make their leap into uncertainty with him. By now, Baloney has personally performed almost 100,000 vision correction surgeries. This is, I believe, what my mentor coaching clients need to sense from me, that I'll believe in you until both of us do. And we'll do this together throughout your success no matter what. Trust is the foundation of developing rapport, of creating an influential story pattern. So the second primary tool of influence, defining your story. In a dialectic between emotion and rationality, emotion always wins, hands down. This is basic human nature. Our emotional side is like the elephant, with our rational side like the rider on top. The rider holds the reins, looks like he's in charge, but if the elephant and rider disagree about what direction to go, guess who picks? 180 pounds versus 12,000 pounds. Slam dunk. The first rule of telling stories is to give the listener an emotional experience. The heart is always the first responder, meaning the portal of entry is the amygdala in the midbrain. Metaphor and analogy, the most effective ways of doing that, are building blocks to evoke images and activate memory and feeling with all of its rich synergy and emotional association. This brings the listener into the story as co-creator. So define your story based on what your follower really needs. Define the specific needs of the people you want to influence with your body of work, what their challenges are. Include the steps they need to address their problems. What's the first problem they need help solving? Once that problem's solved, where do they go next? Create a path of steps to help them realize their goals. Help them solve their problems ultimately. Services, products, tools that your followers need. That's the only thing people will pay you for. Not a pretty website, not initials after your name. Every person and organization on the planet knows what they do. Some know how they do it, but some people and organizations know why they do what they do. And by why, rather than making a profit, it's the purpose. What's your cause? Your belief. Why do you get out of bed in the morning? The inspired leaders and inspired organizations, regardless of their size or industry or focus, think, act, and communicate from the inside out. Perhaps more important than achieving a goal is who it makes you become to fulfill the goal. Now, what this tells us is that people don't buy what we do. People buy why we do it. The goal is not to do business with everybody who needs what we have. The goal is to do business with people who believe what we believe. The why is your story and your mission. It should be bold, captivating, and inspirational, and only inform you in resonating with the client story. Marketing and brand loyalty are about emotion way more than reason. Phil Knight, founder and CEO of Nike, said, "You can't explain much in 60 seconds, but when you show a picture of Michael Jordan, you don't have to. It's simple." Sometimes you can give somebody all the facts and the figures, and they say, "Well, I know what all the information and details say, but it just doesn't feel right." That phrase, "feel right," comes from the part of the brain that controls decision-making. Not language, not logic, not reason. Or sometimes you say you're leading with your heart or you have a gut feeling. Now, we know your heart and your gut are not decision-making body parts, but metaphors for our intuition, our limbic system. It's all happening in our limbic brain. Since people respond to why you do what you do, the need to know why you do what you do is crucial for them to want to be a part of what it is that you do. So you have to know first. I emphasize this repeatedly. As coaches, we need to really know our story really well to be in the very best position to help a client develop their story. Our most immediate intuitive response to someone is based on two things: confidence and connection. Confidence is the perception of strength and the capacity to make things happen. It commands our respect. Connection is the client sense that you understand, that you resonate with their feelings and interests, even their view of the world. Empathic resonance. When people project this warmth and communicate it, we like and support them. Strength and connection are complementary, not mutually exclusive opposites. Amy Cuddy at Harvard, you may have seen some of her work, her book, her TED talk, did seminal work in this area to find that emotional responses to people who project both strength and warmth are the most effective, the most influential. The third primary tool of influence, your body of work. Three crucial questions to consider here. What are your clients' primary needs and challenges? What makes you distinct and unique and memorable to that person? What is the premium the client gets by doing business with you? The mind and brain sciences show us how good communication involves four elements: clarity, brevity, simplicity, and humanity. Those are the four principles that William Zinsser talked about in what has become the Bible of good writing a long time ago. But we've also seen from neuroscience how this is important in terms of how we perceive and process information. This is how language works best in both speaking and writing. When Maurice Sendak wrote his book, Where the Wild Things Are, he worked for 10 years on a book with 338 words. I've been accused of approaching that number per sentence, by the way. For example, when he was ready for the action to begin, he states very simply and vividly, "Let the wild rumpus start." Perfectly chosen, crisp, simple, powerful words. Competitive advantage requires creating a perception of exceptional differentiation and then accentuating it. When you're successful at accentuating your uniqueness, the consumer will redefine the competition as less desirable. It's not something you should ever do or engage in. Your brand, your professional identity, is the cohesive story of your business, the identity of each service and product that people associate with the experience and expectation of your brand. And the fourth primary tool of influence, mindset. This is important enough we're going to devote an entire seminar to it, but here's a précis right now. Focus on the experience you deliver. A winning business engagement creates an emotional connection with the consumer to align with you. Here's a story told by Simon Sinek, author of Start With Why. He observed that all the signs of panhandlers had a similar message. I'm needy, please help me. He believed that possibly by changing the homeless person's message, he could change the results. He finally found a street beggar in New York who's willing to work with him on this experiment. In talking with the woman, he learned that she received an average of $20 to $30 each day for her 8 to 10 hours and had done that for some period of time. When she got to 30, she considered it a really great day. Simon convinced her to change her sign. Instead of focusing on her situation, homeless and hungry, he helped her craft a sign that was focused on the person. If you only give once a month, next time, think of me. The initial 2 hours, she collected $50. when the message shifted focus from her needs to focus on the experience of the passerby, the donor, the results increased significantly. This emphasizes that the focus needs to be on the person making the decision, not on the needs of the presenter or seller, or the credentials, or the history, or the training, or the number of white papers or books on the person, the client. The messages we send are very subtle and often operate in a subliminal way. People are influenced either positively or negative at an unconscious level. When we send out messages that are about us, the quality, benefits, features of our services and products, you're going to receive less response. The more we take as point of reference the recipients of the message and resonate with them, their needs, their challenges, the more money they will be willing to join in and create with you in a mutual fulfillment of their needs, of their benefits. So think about the messages you communicate. Rather than beginning with the benefits of what you do or the facts or the features, begin with the issues of the recipient, the pain points, the needs, the challenges. Think of what will someone pay you money for. They'll pay you, again, for things that they can't do or be themselves. So rather than telling somebody about your experiences, credentials, training, focus on what's in it for them. No patient ever came to see me or work with me previously as a psychiatrist or psychoanalyst because I was named one of the top doctors in America. No client has subsequently come to work with me as a mentor coach because of the books I've written. They don't care, and they shouldn't. They want to know that I care about them, that I get what will be helpful to them. They want to know what's in it for them. And they'll get the sense, if I confidently believe in both of us to do that, that I'll be loyal and passionately 100% dedicated to their success. This is from Teddy Roosevelt. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. It's been said that there are two things people don't want to know about how they're made. Laws and sausage. Add this as the third. All of your qualifications and degrees and training experiences. Your clients want to know one thing. What's in it for me? Remember that our brains release dopamine, the pleasure chemical, when we anticipate a positive experience, just as before spending money or anticipating a positive result. This emphasizes the role of hope and expectation in your message. We once thought the dopamine, the pleasure chemical, was the result of the reward for doing something. What we know now is it's the anticipation. If you hook somebody up right before they approach a slot machine, even the least addicted of it, there's going to be a hit before they ever touch that slot machine. It's not winning. It's the anticipation, which is why some people develop spending addictions, but it's why people respond and continue. The anticipation. Remember dopamine and the story analogy. What's next? Remember that our brains release dopamine, the pleasure chemical, when we anticipate a positive experience, just before spending money or anticipating a positive result. This emphasizes the role of hope and expectation in your message. Your message and mindset both center on your why. The most common difference between the best and everyone else is the compelling reason for commitment, the why. Martin Luther King gave the I have a dream speech, not the I have a plan speech. Marketing comes from contribution, something you believe in that makes a difference. You have to know what you're worth. I believe For example, when someone works with me in mentor coaching, that it will make a significant difference for the rest of his or her life. I don't say that, but my belief frames the words, the experience, as we talk about what they need. No strategy replaces integrity and caring to make a difference by connecting with others, to be genuine, to be authentic. Your why determines what you focus on and what you don't. The number one thing about the successful 1% of people, they're compelled by goals and dreams, having a why. People need to feel a sense of belonging. Before people decide what they think of your message, they're going to decide what they think of you. The drive to affiliate is among our primary needs as humans. A fundamental effectiveness is the connection, to be understood, to make a difference for the other person. This is the experience of bonding and connection that's mediated by the chemical, the neurochemical system of caring. We'll talk about that more at a later point. So here's a summary application of the influential story components. From birth, our brain's primary goal is to make causal connections. If this, then that. The unconscious operating system. We don't think in abstract, but in specific detail. And think about the analogy of the coaching model that you most likely use to what we just talked about story. The challenge, the development, the resolution. You ask about what the client wants to focus on, where they want to get to in this discussion, and you develop it in the middle, and then the resolution is you ask them perhaps to summarize in a sentence what the most important thing they're taking away and what do they commit to do based on that. The challenge, the development, the resolution is complete. It makes a memory. And it's an action plan. It's a system. It's a mini system. And as we've talked in earlier contexts, some of you, if you want to change, focus on the system, not just the goal. Most people have similar goals. Winners and losers have similar goals. It's the system that makes a difference. It's the system that we focus on in coaching. This is developing a system based on the mind and brain sciences for your marketing of those services and products. We don't think in abstract, but we think in detail. When something is more easily pictured or experienced, it becomes more real and more believable. An active verb tense makes an experience more concrete and believable than a passive verb, which is abstract. You can think more about that later. Our brains are hardwired to want to be a member of a group. We want to have that oxytocin experience of connection and bonding. And we'll talk more about a framework for that at a later point. A good brand shares the same impact. As we become confident in the predictability and trustworthiness of a brand, and first of our story, of knowing that when someone engages with you, they're going to get to a better place perhaps than they've ever been in their life or their business before. Every brand is a story, including history, expectations, promises, and emotions. Your brand is a story. Stories are more important than facts in changing people's minds. Passion brands create passionate followers. We buy something when it activates the part of our brains associated with our sense of self. We buy what is consistent with our identities. And finally, your authenticity is crucial. the most valuable gift you have to offer is yourself, to care, to be all in. Because this experience, your confidence, your passion, your caring, those are all in a state of mind, and states of mind are instantly contagious. By phone, by video, in person, the most contagious thing in the world, faster than the fastest virus. Your state of mind will be amazingly contagious, and we'll return to that as we talk about confidence at a later point. So, let the wild rumpus start. Okay, we're in discussion mode now. I'm interested to hear your thoughts or questions or clarifications about anything we've talked about. How is this sounding and feeling to you? First, are there any clarifications from any of you?
Hi, Dave. This is Danny Bedoni.
Welcome. Hey, how are you?
Hi. So one of the things that I love is, how do we know exactly what our clients want and need so we can connect with them and be empathetic to them?
You've probably heard me say this before, but to answer that, I want each of you to draw a circle. Take a fresh page, in case you want to add anything to it. Draw a circle in the middle of the page. That circle is your client. Now, in the middle of that circle, draw a stick figure. That specifically is your client. We are on the outside. To get to that client in that circle to listen to us, we have to join them in the circle. So how do you do that? If it's a client, you resonate with their experience. You resonate with what is the most salient aspect of their experience, and then you can go someplace new. If it's someone you don't know, you want to know as much about them as possible. What are their ecosystems? What are their primary challenges? Where are their watering holes? You want to know as much about their challenges and their issues as possible, because by addressing them and engaging with them in that way, they're going to listen to you. Remember, it's not about you. Your challenge to get inside the circle to the individual, for the client, for this moment, with an empathic resonance. Let's say a client begins with, man, things are just so upsetting and there's so many things. I hear how upsetting this is for you. Then you can look at what aspect of that would be most helpful right now to focus on. State, and we'll come back to this, and elaborate. State always comes before strategy and story. So that resonance, and if it's more abstract, like with a group you've never met or people you're marketing to know as much about them as possible so that your resonance can be authentic. You know their primary challenges. You have something that you can offer that may be of interest to them, and you describe it and how it may be of benefit. It's not about you. Danny, does that make sense for a beginning way of answering that?
Yes, very much so. And I try to focus on that. And one tends to say, okay, what can I solve? But you have to go back to what do they need to solve, not what I am going to solve for them.
Exactly. Great. And that's why it's such a great question. So thank you. And welcome.
Thank you.
Hope you're doing great. Who else? Other questions, clarifications, or thoughts? Anybody wants to add or ask?
Yes. Hi there. This is Leah from New York.
Welcome. Hey, welcome back. How are you?
Thank God. I really enjoyed today's session. Basically, I just want to say that the session today helped me redefine myself as a coach and how I relate to potential clients.
Well, that's a good start. We're just getting warmed up. Okay.
This was a big
thank
one for
you.
Me.
Thank you for sharing that. Yeah.
That was a big one for me. Thank you so much.
Okay, great. I'll be eager to hear how you find the rest of our discussions and collaboration. So thanks.
Well, definitely looking forward to those as well.
Super. We're really out of time, but any final comment or thing to add from anybody? I don't want to cut short if you have something you want to say. Well, thank you very much for your attendance, your energy. Thanks for all the questions that you've answered, or each of you who have answered the couple of questions. If you have anything to add or answer, look at the emails, fire back an email to me, and I want to be sure to incorporate things that are of interest and application to each of you. So we're going to talk about next seminar, the neuroscience of persuasion. So definitely something you don't want to miss. Have a great rest of the week, and we'll pick up right here next time. I look forward to it. See you guys. Bye now.
Thank you.
Absolutely.